Welcome to Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio, where we explore people, stories, and events in Central Iowa. Hello to you, the listener. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Gail Seiler, your host for today. International Women's Day is coming up this week, and March is also Women's History Month. So, quite unintentionally, this is going to be an all-women show today. All of our guests and even our engineer are women, and we are in part going to be talking about women's issues and topics. Later in the show, we'll be hearing about how International Women's Day will be celebrated here in Ames, and we'll be speaking with Erin Davison Rippey from Planned Parenthood of the Heartland about reproductive rights from a legal perspective. And Allison Walter from the Ames Convention and Visitors Bureau will be here for her monthly segment. So please stay with us for all of that. We've been having some wild weather lately. We keep hearing the phrase wintry mix, and that perfectly describes what we have had this past week. But yesterday we had bright sunshine and lots of snow melting. And that will continue through Wednesday, with the temperature going up to 50 to 55 degrees, with sunshine and then a little rain on Wednesday. The temperature will dip into the high 30s on Thursday, with the possibility of a few flurries. But then it will be in the 40s, with a mix of sun and a few clouds right into next weekend. So things will still be a little mixed, but we may be able to start feeling a little bit more like spring may be around the corner. Here is a summary of local Iowa news as well as Iowa in the national news during this past week, brought to you by the Iowa Informer. On Friday, Yahoo Sports reported that it reviewed documents and bank records stemming from a multi-year federal investigation into what they described as an underground recruiting operation that could create NCAA rule issues, both current and retroactive, for at least 20 Division I basketball programs and more than 25 players. The NCAA, or National Collegiate Athletic Association, is a nonprofit organization that regulates athletics at most colleges and universities. The FBI is conducting an extensive probe into potential violations of NCAA rules against paying student athletes. Former Iowa State Cyclone point guard Monte Morris is among the players listed in the documents. On an unspecified date, Morris met for a meal with Christian Dawkins, a former associate of former NBA agent Andy Miller and his sports recruiting agency. Miller and Dawkins are central figures in the FBI's probe. Tanya Morris, Monte's mother, defended her son, telling local sports reporters that he didn't violate any NCAA rules. Monte Morris is currently a rookie in the NBA with the Denver Nuggets. Last Tuesday, around 9:30 p.m., Ames police received a call about suspicious activity at Cinemark Movies 12 on Buckeye Avenue in Ames. Apparently, two younger males were involved with an altercation with two other males at the theater. Joff Huff, the police department's public information officer, told the informer they were asked to leave for causing a scene, and they did. They were reported to have said something like they would come back to shoot the place up. Police arrived to secure the area, including the nearby Jethro's Barbecue Steak and Chop restaurant, but did not find the suspects. No one observed any weapons, Huff added, and the police cleared out about half an hour later. On Thursday, the Ways and Means Committee of the Iowa Senate approved a bill that was introduced just the previous day and would cut annual state taxes by $1 billion. Democrats criticized the proposal approved by the Republican-led committee, arguing that the cuts would lead to huge spending reductions to programs such as education and health care that have already felt cuts. According to State Senator Randy Feenstra, a Republican who is managing the bill, the legislation won't be debated on the Senate floor until the nonpartisan Legislative Services Agency conducts a fiscal analysis. The Iowa House is currently looking at a separate bill based on a tax plan from Governor Kim Reynolds that would slash taxes by $1.7 billion from the 2019 to 2023 budgets. A bill has been introduced by the Iowa Department of Homeland Security and Emergency Management to establish criminal penalties specifically for the sabotage of critical infrastructure. The bill passed the Iowa Senate last Wednesday by a 33-16 vote. The legislation is a response to the millions of dollars of damage caused to equipment during the construction of the Dakota Access crude oil pipeline. Iowa law already has penalties in place for arson and property destruction. The new proposal would harshen penalties for damaging infrastructure, including but not limited to pipelines, by making them a Class B felony, punishable by up to 25 years in prison and a $100,000 fine. State Senator Rob Hogg, a Cedar Rapids Democrat who tried but failed to soften the penalties, said the bill has extraordinary overbreath that could result in peaceful protesters receiving the felony charge if they were in the wrong place at the wrong time. Quote, "We want to make sure that we are applying appropriate criminal penalties for the consequences of the conduct," Hogg said, according to the Des Moines Register. "Don't turn every protester into a Class B felon. This is an extraordinarily chilling bill to people's freedom," he continued. There's a reason why Associated Press reporter Ryan Foley has earned the nickname Scoops. In one of two stories he broke last week, Foley revealed that Iowa Congressman Rod Blum violated House ethics rules by failing to disclose his 2016 ownership role in Tin Moon, a Dubuque reputation management and search engine optimization company. The company has advertised services that have included burying negative reports about Food and Drug Administration violations to help businesses improve internet search results. The congressman dismissed his failure to disclose information about the company as a simple oversight and also, as this is a quote from him, "yet another desperate Democrat diversion originated from the career politicians in Washington, D.C., doing everything they can to make sure Nancy Pelosi is speaker again," end quote. Blum later claimed that the company hadn't done business in 2016, although its records suggest otherwise. And that is some of the state news, as well as Iowa in the national news from last week, brought to you by the Iowa Informer. Go to iowainformer.com for more on these and other stories.
Ramallah, in danger, she takes a breath, lifts up her voice, in La Hola Paz, Kampala, though she's half a world away, something in me wants to say,
and we
That was One Woman, a song made in 2013 to celebrate International Women's Day. In it, singers and musicians, both women and men, came together to spread a message of unity and solidarity. International Women's Day, which has been taking place for over a century, is a global day focused on celebrating social, economic, cultural, and political achievements and actions of women. And we have some folks with us now who will tell us about how the day will be celebrated in Ames. We've been joined by Mary Logsdon. Good morning, Mary.
Good morning, Gail.
Thanks for being here. And with you is Chin Yen. Thank you for being here.
Good morning. Thanks for having us.
And you are both part of the group that's been planning this year's event and celebration. So tell us what you have ready for us.
Well, yes, thanks. I'm happy to talk about it. This year, International Women's Day will be celebrated in Ames on Sunday, March 4th. As you mentioned, the international celebration officially takes place all around the globe on March 8th. But we have, for over a decade, been celebrating on the first weekend of March. So we are going to have an opportunity for folks to gather at the library in the auditorium at 2 p.m. for several different special activities that represent both celebrations of achievements of women as well as an opportunity for local men and women to come and network with one another and celebrate achievements they've made in their own lives and make some statements as to what they plan to do in the future in a very general way.
The theme for this year, at least from what I could tell online, was Press for Progress. Can you say a bit about that?
Yeah, well, you know, each year it's really been interesting. The International Foundation that supports this movement does select a theme, and Press for Progress really is just a statement that encourages individuals to think about ways in which they can really push for equality for women in, as you said, economic, social ways. So Press for Progress is really just a quick statement to make you think about what you can do as an individual or as a community to really ensure that women are treated equally, that stereotypes are challenged, and that you really find ways to support the efforts of women to reach their full parity so that they can do what they feel they are called to do equally.
So it will actually be celebratory, but also, as the theme suggests, pushing for more, not being content to just celebrate.
That's right.
The progress that has been made.
That's true.
And so what can people experience or anticipate when they come?
Well, we have a special guest who is going to be our featured speaker this year.
And Jeanette Colton, who will be the keynote speaker for this year's International Women's Day gathering in Ames, stopped by the studio last week mm-hmm. and recorded a brief statement, since she couldn't be here this morning, to give us an idea of who she is and what she's going to talk about on Sunday at the celebration. She also wanted to convey her excitement about being part of this event, which she says she comes to every year and loves.
Mm-hmm. Every year, I love that event. It's so well done and respectful and so empowering to women. It's such a beautiful event. When I was preparing for this, Mara, who's one of the organizers, said something that really resonated with me. She said, 30 years ago in Chile, would you have ever seen yourself being an elected official in the United States? I have thought about this before, and no. I would never have thought of that. I'm originally from Santiago, Chile. Now, Chile is a democracy, but I grew up in a dictatorship. We didn't elect people because that was something that we just didn't do, right? You just fought. That was your role. You were an activist. You spoke up. So I would never have thought about being in an elected official role, not in a million years. So I think it's going to be some of that, some of how I got here. I've lived in Ames for 17 years, and in 2014, I became a citizen, which I'm very proud of. In September of 2017, I was elected to the Ames School Board. and I'm serving. So I'm new in it, in my capability, in my elected official capability. And like I said, extremely humble for having been asked to be part of this beautiful event. So I'm excited for what's to come and what the day is going to offer. And I'm excited for all of us. You walk into that room and it's just the energy, this wonderful women, they empower me every year. I grew up with my mom and two sisters, so it was four of us. And all the people were around, they were women. We would protest. And that strength, that empowerment played a huge role in Chile for us to be done with the dictatorship in so many levels and layers. From this concept of kitchen, like soup kitchens, and they would put it in a neighborhood and they would just cook every day for the whole neighborhood. Still now, there's a group of women, los detenidos desaparecidos, the people that were detained and disappeared, that they're still looking for them. I mean, they, after 30 years, they have never given up. So that's something that is still in me, that strength. I grew up with strong women, and I'm blessed to live in Ames, and I'm so honored to be part of this beautiful event. I'd like to invite everybody to come out to the event on March 4th. It's at the library from 2 to 4 in the afternoon. And I'm excited to meet everybody there. And I'm excited about the conversations that will happen and to see familiar faces, but new faces as well. And I'm so humbled for having been asked to do this.
That was Jeanette Colton, who will be the keynote speaker for this year's International Women's Day gathering in Ames. And I have with me here in the studio Mary Logsdon and Chin Yen, who've been part of the group that's been planning this. Mm-hmm. How many years has this been going on?
Well, I went back and looked through some of the library's records, and I was able to find back in 2005 an event in celebration of International Women's Day. So I know it's at least been since 2005, maybe a year or two before that even, but I found a really good document to show that it was from 2005. And one of the things that I'm really happy to share is that a partner organization at that time was the YWCA of Ames, Iowa State University, which is the organization that Kinyon's affiliated
yeah.
with.
Mm-hmm.
So we've been partners now for many years.
Years, yeah.
As organizations years. And yep. then as individuals, I know we've worked together for mm-hmm. a couple of years now. But we have other partners as well.
I think we also have...
It's the Assault Care Center, the Access.
Mm-hmm.
Assault Care Center extending shelter and support. Iowa Resource for International Service.
Mm-hmm. And KHOI, Community Radio, is also with us.
That's right. So yeah. thank you so much, KHOI.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Also, the League of Women Voters of Ames and Story County.
And Whitsfield Co-op. And then Wortley Good is also with us.
And each of those organizations has a committed, passionate woman who has stepped forward to meet weekly at the mm-hmm. library to plan
yeah.
the afternoon.
Yes.
And that's your coalition.
Yes, indeed. Mm-hmm. The International yeah. Women's Day Coalition. That's
yeah.
exactly right.
I'm proud of it.
And I heard that there was going to be something with KHOI recording there. Can you tell us about that?
Yes, actually, this is a really exciting component. We're thrilled that KHOI Community Radio decided accept our invitation to be part of this planning team this year. And there is going to be a listening booth. Yeah, exactly, at the event. So after hearing inspirational words from Jeanette, which I'm so moved to hear her little synopsis, and I can hardly wait to see her in person on Sunday. But after hearing her remarks, we're going to share refreshments, and then we're just going to have opportunities for people to mingle and to chat and gain strength from one another. And then if you feel moved to share your thoughts about the things that you have either done in the past or that you are committed to do going forward in order to encourage this push for progress, this press for progress, we invite you to sit down with recorders from KHOI Radio who will be listening. And then possibly your statements will be part of future broadcasts on air where we can make that statement publicly.
So sort of like the StoryCorps project where people can can record their narratives or their stories.
Absolutely. Yeah.
That's a nice innovation. And this is open to anyone to attend?
Yep. Basically, anyone is welcome to celebrate.
And families, grown-ups, kids.
Yep. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Just like anything at the library. I think it's just welcome. Pop in. If you can't make it exactly when it begins, you are certainly encouraged to come when it's convenient for you. But we'd love to see folks for the entire time.
Yeah.
And it's on Sunday, March 4th. And the time again is?
2 to 4 p.m.
Okay. Yep. At the library.
Yep.
And anything else you want to tell us about it?
I think I would just say come with an open mind and with in a spirit of sharing and strength, and you will certainly be glad that you took the time to do so.
Yeah, come join us and meet people there. So have a good time.
And it sounds like people will get a lot from it and maybe be push to press for progress.
That's right. That's right. We also are going to give folks an opportunity if they wish to. We'll have postcards and contact information about elected officials, local and state elected officials. So if you feel moved to write a statement and send a message to our elected officials, bringing it back to one way in which people can seek change, there will be an opportunity to do that as well.
Yeah, this is how we think our event will do in order to make a progress and that event itself.
Thanks very much for coming in today. It's been great to hear more about this.
Thanks for having
us. Thanks for the invite.
Rows and flows of angels. Ice cream castles in the air and feather canyons everywhere. I've looked at clouds that weep, but now they only block the sun. They rain and snow on everyone. So many things I would have done. Got in my way. I've looked at clouds from both sides now, from up and down, and still somehow it's cloud illusions. I recall I really don't know clouds at all.
We just heard Joni Mitchell singing Both Sides Now, recorded in 1969. And we now have Aaron Davison Rippey with us. Are you there, Aaron?
I am. Good morning.
Wonderful. Aaron is the Director of Public Affairs at Planned Parenthood of the Heartland. Thanks for being with us.
Thanks for having me this morning.
Well, let's start. I wanted to ask you, how would you assess the overall state of access to reproductive health care in Iowa, particularly in light of recent state and federal legislation and policy changes? How are things?
Well, you know, I was here about a year ago talking to you, and I appreciate you inviting me back. Things are still rough. So we had a tough year last year after particularly the Iowa Senate changed party control. And so as I was you know, talking to a year ago, we had a bill that was attempting to cut patients off from Planned Parenthood, defunding Planned Parenthood from a family planning program, and unfortunately that bill did pass last year. And then we also had one of the most restrictive abortion laws in the country pass the Iowa legislature last year as well, requiring a 72-hour waiting period and another unnecessary medical visit for folks who are seeking an abortion. So last year was a rough year, and so already this year we have seen similarly kind of hostile environment towards reproductive health. We have a bill that would seek to ban abortion at about 6 weeks for most folks, banning abortion after a fetal heartbeat is detectable, which we know for so many women, you know, they may not even know that they're pregnant by that point. So functionally, would really ban abortion for most women in the state of Iowa. Again, that is the most restrictive abortion language in the country. No other state has either passed or been able to uphold that type of legislation. And we had other bills kind of floating around in Iowa this session that really have sent the message to Iowans that the legislature is coming after both our, you know, legally guaranteed right to privacy, which includes a right to an abortion, as well as that family planning access.
And that current law that's being considered that you described as one of the most restrictive abortion laws in the country. What's the status of that now in the legislature?
Yeah, so that bill made it through the first legislative deadline called First Funnel. Mm-hmm. That was about a week and a half ago. So that bill was introduced in the Senate and went through a subcommittee process where the public has a chance to weigh in. We had some incredible voices at the table advocating against that bill, including a young woman named Leah who shared her story, how she grew up in Orange City, was in a very conservative family, had been against abortion, and until she found herself in a situation where she was needing to access abortion, had never really thought about it, and so she shared her perspective, and we thought, you know, we really hoped that voices like that would discourage the senators from advancing that bill, but unfortunately it passed out of subcommittee and did pass out of the full Senate Judiciary Committee. So right now, that bill is eligible to be debated on the Senate floor. We're working very hard to send a message to senators that this is not what Iowans want, and really is at odds with sort of how the country in general looks at abortion. About 7 in 10 Americans believe that abortion should be safe and legal, and so this just doesn't align with how most Americans feel.
If that law were passed, there would most likely be legal challenges because it seems to go against the Supreme Court in terms of Roe versus Wade.
Yeah, this bill is blatantly unconstitutional. Yeah. And in fact, the folks that have been advancing this bill have been very upfront about that fact, which is, I think, unusual when you look at the legislative process for legislators to be to admit that they are passing unconstitutional legislation. Unfortunately, attempts like this are part of a kind of a national aim to pass unconstitutional legislation, which then they are attempting to get in the pipeline to the Supreme Court, the United States Supreme Court, in an effort to, they hope, eventually overturn Roe v. Wade abortion access. So this is a blatant attempt at unconstitutional legislation because folks want to get this in front of the United States Supreme Court.
And recently, Planned Parenthood of the Heartland filed suit against the Trump-Pence administration for terminating a teen pregnancy prevention program. Is that correct?
A lot of lawsuits being discussed. So last summer, the Trump-Pence administration ended a national program, teen pregnancy prevention program, Planned Parenthood of the Heartland was one of many, many grantees. They ended that program prematurely, and that program was scheduled to end at the end of kind of this fiscal year. And so Planned Parenthood of the Heartland, along with a couple of other Planned Parenthood affiliates, filed suit because, you know, you can't just end a contractual program before it's scheduled. And so, yeah, we have joined with a couple of other affiliates. There are also other organizations other than Planned Parenthood's who have also filed suit in separate lawsuits against illegally terminating that funding for the teen pregnancy prevention program.
And Planned Parenthood of the Heartland is also involved in the appeal of the abortion restricting legislation that was passed last year. That's being appealed to the Iowa Supreme Court.
Yeah, that's correct. So as I mentioned earlier, we saw one of the most restrictive abortion bills in the country passed last session, which would have required a 72-hour waiting period prior to seeking an abortion. So we filed suit actually the day that was taking effect in May, and I was in our health centers that day as women were coming to the health center, not knowing whether or not they were going to be able to access health care that day. And it was quite frankly one of the most heartbreaking things that I've ever seen, to see women, you know, who expected to be able to receive health care, who got a call the night before that said, "We think the governor is signing this legislation. Please come in anyway, because there's, you know, if we're held to this law, we need to start the process." So women came in and thinking they weren't going to be able to access health care, and the governor signed the bill, and we filed suit immediately. And fortunately, the judge issued a stay on the law, so it didn't take effect. So we had women who had maybe started the morning there, and we called them back to say, no, come back. The law isn't going to, they're not going to enforce it quite yet. It was just the emotional roller coaster that those women went through was so hard. So we've been, that lawsuit has been working its way through the process, and it is now under consideration by the Iowa Supreme Court. So about a week and a half ago, we argued our case in front of the Iowa Supreme Court. So now we're just waiting for the Iowa Supreme Court to make their decision. We would expect that they will make that decision by, kind of the end of June when their time ends.
Did you get any sense of how they might rule based on their questions and responses?
Yeah, you know, so I try really hard not to play an attorney on TV. I'm not a lawyer, and I suspect our lawyers would say, you know, we won't speculate on you know, which way the Supreme Court will rule. But we certainly hope that the Iowa Supreme Court, understands the burden, quite frankly, that this puts on women. So to say that, you know, first of all, you know, the legislation is essentially telling women, we don't trust that you have thought through this decision enough, and so we're going to force this waiting period on you, because they're not claiming that there's any medical reason for this 72-hour waiting period. They are very clear that they just want a woman to think about it a little bit more, which is just insulting. And so, you know, we hope that the Iowa Supreme Court will see that this is an incredible burden to place on a woman who, you know, may have, you know, taken time off, had to arrange for childcare, maybe had to arrange for transportation. Some of the women that I talked to the day that law was, you know, bill was signed into law, we had one woman that had, you know, taken off time from her three jobs that she works to come in, and she was devastated because she didn't know when it would work for her to come back. Another woman that traveled, you know, almost 2 hours to get there, and arranging for transportation, arranging for childcare. It's just an incredible burden to place on a woman to access her constitutionally protected right to health care.
And the stay is still in place, so the legislation is on hold?
Yes, correct. The legislation is still on hold until the Iowa Supreme Court makes their decision. So we are just waiting to find that out. And you know, like I said, we just hope that the Iowa Supreme Court will see and will agree with us that this is just an incredible burden to place on a woman.
And as you mentioned previously, Planned Parenthood of the Heartland experienced basically defunding as a result of laws passed in the last legislative session in 2017. What's been the effect of that defunding?
Yeah, thank you for asking about that. So last year that piece of legislation essentially said that the state of Iowa was going to walk away from $3 million in federal funds in order to cut Planned Parenthood and any other abortion providers out of this family planning program that we had in the state of Iowa, a great program, kind of the gold standard in coverage for reproductive and family planning services. So we, along with other abortion providers, so for instance, Unity Point does provide medically necessary abortions to some of their patients in a couple locations. So any facility affiliated with Unity Point, as well as the University of Iowa Hospitals, we're all cut out of that new program. So the Department of Human Services, Iowa Department of Human Services, created a work group to begin to analyze this data. And what we have seen, while the data is very preliminary, because, of course, this has only been in effect since July 1 of last year, but the initial data is staggering. You know, there's something like about half of the amount of providers are in the program. There's a huge drop in the number of services that folks are getting, the number of folks enrolled in the program. Access has been decimated, which is exactly what we were saying, you know, when I was here a year ago and said, you know, this is going to decimate access to reproductive health care in Iowa. And, you know, there were legislators and folks that had pushed that legislation that said, no, there are many providers who are, you know, going to provide these services. Well, what we knew was that in the old program, any of those folks could have been a part of that family planning program before. And they either, some of them were, and maybe not providing very many services, or some of them had chosen not to provide those services in that program. And so there was nothing about this new program that incentivized any new providers to come to the table. The reimbursement rates are the same, which are not very high because it's based on Medicaid programs. Medicaid reimbursement rates for providers aren't great. And so a lot of, you know, private providers, they limit the number of patients that they'll see in that program because, you know, their business model doesn't allow them to provide that many Medicaid services. That's where, you know, safety net providers like Planned Parenthood, we have a business model that, you know, we see those patients who need the services. And because those reimbursement rates are low, mm-hmm. we fundraise to make up the difference. So we have just seen that access be decimated. We're also really concerned. We haven't seen data yet, but we're really concerned about patients' ability to access some of the most effective forms of birth control. So things like IUDs, the long-acting contraceptives, because what we know is that when you kind of change who is in the mix of reproductive health care, the folks like Planned Parenthood, where you know, provide those highly specialized services, when you take us out, you have access to folks that aren't as accustomed to providing those services. So you might be able to go to your, you know, family doctor, and they would give you, you know, a prescription for birth control pills, but they may not be comfortable inserting an IUD, and they certainly wouldn't feel comfortable, you know, if there's a complication, you know, with IUD removal or something like that. Those are the folks that always used to refer their patients to Planned Parenthood. They are able to access it through that program. And, you know, what we're seeing is there are still a lot of patients who are coming to Planned Parenthood who are choosing to just pay for those services themselves because Planned Parenthood is the provider that they trust. They want to keep seeing the same provider. They rely on us for the high-quality, non-judgmental services that we provide. And so really the folks that are hurting here are those patients that are no longer able to either see their provider of choice or have to pay out of pocket for it now.
Thanks very much, Erin, for speaking with us this morning and filling us in on the status of all of this.
Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
That was Erin Davison-Rippey from Planned Parenthood of the Heartland.
Baby, you understand me now. If sometimes you see that I'm mad, don't you know no one alive can always be an angel? When everything goes wrong, you see some bad. But I'm just a soul whose intentions are good. Oh, Lord, please don't let me be misunderstood. You know, sometimes, baby, I'm so carefree with a joy that's hard to hide. And then sometimes again it seems that all I have is worry. And then you're bound to see my other side. But I'm just a soul.
We just heard Nina Simone singing Don't Let Me Be Misunderstood. And now we've been joined by Allison Walter from the Ames Convention and Visitors Bureau. Thanks for being here.
Good morning. Thank you.
And it's your monthly segment.
Yes.
So what have you got to share with us this time?
I have lots to share with you. A few exhibits that are ongoing at the Textiles and Clothing Museum, Queer Fashion and Style, Stories from the Heartland. And this is from a year-long research project, and there are fashions, everyday fashions and styles on display for the exhibit. They're open Monday through Friday from 11 to 4, and that's in Morrill Hall.
At ISU. I'm actually taking my graduate research class to
Wonderful.
That exhibit this week. So, yeah.
Perfect. The Christian Peterson Museum has Art and Issues, Building a Campus Community, and they are trying to teach critical thinking and generate dialogue that will build an inclusive campus community. And so they are bringing up topics that relate to current events, and they'll have discussion groups on the last Monday of the month. So that's today for February from 12 to 1, and then Monday, March 26th from 12 to 1 will be the discussion groups, but it is also open throughout the day, throughout the month. And that's the Christian Peterson Art Museum in Morrill Hall on campus. We have the 29th Annual Town and Gown Musicale. And that is this Saturday, March 3rd at 7 p.m. at St. John's Episcopal. And this is one of their annual events that's look forward to all year long.
And do you have to be a Town and Gown member or subscriber to
go
to that?
No, but I think there are tickets obtain ahead of time.
Okay.
The Central Iowa Symphony is doing their Young Artist Concert on Sunday, and that's at 3 o'clock. It is a presented by Central Iowa Symphony, and they will have two exceptional young soloists that will be performing on Sunday. And the program also includes inspiring Fifth Symphony from Sibelu. Ooh, boy, I don't know that one.
We need Paul Hertz here.
We do.
Pronounce the composer's names.
Described as having the greatest finale of all time. So that will be Sunday at 3 o'clock at City Auditorium. Artful Yoga is another wonderful program through University Museums, a free monthly yoga practice, and they have worked with museums and recreation services, and it's at Christian Peterson Art Museum this month, Wednesday, March 7th from 5:30 to 6:30, and you can practice yoga in the art gallery.
That's an interesting combination.
Yes. Yeah. It begins at 5:30 with a brief talk connecting the current exhibition to the yoga practice. Hmm. And it's free, but they do ask you to register online at museum's website. Boone and Scenic Valley Railroad has a sunset barbecue dinner train coming up in March, Saturdays in March, the 10th, 17th, 24th, and 31st. Boarding begins at 4:30, and you'll take a wonderful ride through the Boone Scenic Valley on the train and enjoy a wonderful dinner at the same time.
A barbecue dinner.
Barbecue dinner. Mm-hmm. Be sure to make your reservations ahead of time. Art Cicati does wonderful workshops where you can work with him to blow your own glass artwork. And on Saturday, March 3rd, that's this week, he'll be doing round paperweights. And on Saturday, March 17th, they'll do glass flower making. And you work work directly with Art in his studio. Each session takes about 20 minutes, and you'll come away with a beautiful piece of art that you've done yourself.
20 minutes, and you can learn to blow something using glass.
Yes.
Wow.
Amazing, huh?
Seems quick.
So you can reserve a time at his website. The Ames Community Arts Council does their monthly gathering of the artists, and this March 20th, they will be meeting, and it's always the third Tuesday of each month. It's free and open to all. You can find out more information on their website. Wheatsfield Co-op does some wonderful cooking and health classes. They do ask that you RSVP ahead of time, but this month they have, on March 7th, a celebration of Irish beers and cheeses. On March 20th, the Fermented Kitchen. Course number one is sauerkraut, kimchi, and brined veggie pickles. And then also on Thursday the 22nd, they are doing the Spanish tortilla.
So both Cynthia and our engineer and I are sitting here.
That one, yes. The Ames Children's Choir has their Celebrate Singing Choral Festival coming up on Friday, March 23rd, 7:30 at the Ballard Community High School. And this will feature Central Iowa youth choruses. The choruses will perform individually, and then they'll all join together in a mass choir. And it's all under the direction of Chris Johnson, the music director at Gilbert Middle School and Roland Story Middle School. Always a wonderful performance when all four choirs join in a big mass choir performance. We have Reggie's Sleepout coming up here in March as well, overnight on Saturday, March 24th. You can register to participate with YSS, and you will be sleeping out on the field at Jack Trice Stadium. And this is all to support community organizations and also to experience what homelessness is all about. So bring your friends, put together a team, and join to have an opportunity to sleep on the field at Jack Trice Stadium on Saturday, March 24th. And, of course, Iowa State Center has some wonderful performances. They're right in the height of their season, and they have Motown the Musical coming up this week, Wednesday, the 28th of February. excuse me, Iphigenia on March 2nd and 3rd, and Sunday, March 4th at 2 o'clock, they have a matinee, and that's at Fisher Theater. Ron White will be performing on Friday, March 2nd, at Stevens Auditorium. A Gentleman's Guide to Love and Murder coming up on Tuesday, March 6th at Stevens Auditorium. Fly Dance on Saturday, March 24th at Stevens. And then, of course, their Youth Matinee Series and a couple of performances for that, which is wonderful for kids. And you can many classes come through the schools, but you can also buy tickets individually if you have kids that would like to attend. They'll be showing Clementine on Friday, March 2nd. At 10:30 and 12:30 at Stevens Auditorium. That's appropriate for K through 5 audiences. And How I Became a Pirate on Thursday, March 22nd. Again, performances at 10 and 12:30 at Stevens Auditorium. Also appropriate for grades K through 5. So that's a quick rundown of lots of things going on
community. You got a lot in there. And all of that information is on your website for the Ames Convention and Visitors Bureau?
Yes. ThinkAmes.com has our full event calendar, as well as information about other things to do and see in the community, and information to help you plan an event if you're interested in bringing a group to Ames. So we love to provide that information and help bring people to the community. So that's thinkames.com.
And we'll put a link to that up with the show.
Wonderful.
And how do you compile all this information? Because just getting all of this seems like a big task.
It is a big task.
Do groups let you know, or do
yes.
you have to go out and?
We are a membership-based organization, mm-hmm. so any organization that's a member has the opportunity to submit events for our event calendar. Mm-hmm. And they do a great job of keeping us informed. Of course, we reach out to them on a regular basis, but right now we're working on our next visitor's guide that will come out in April that will have events from April through August. So, of course, we're frantically trying to pull together that list and asking all of our members to share anything that they have for that time frame. But we always – we have on the event calendar things that go out almost 12 to 18 months ahead of time as well. So anytime mm-hmm. you have things and dates set, we can put them on the calendar.
And then people can go there to find out about them.
Right.
Wonderful. Well, it's great to have you come in at the end. I was thinking that the timing is good to come in at the end of the month that you can let people know about yep. everything in the upcoming
plan
month.
For the upcoming month.
So
exactly.
Great. Thank you very much.
Our pleasure.
That's been Allison Walter from the Ames Convention and Visitors Bureau. This is KHOI Community Radio, and you've been listening to Local Talk. I've been your host, Gail Seiler. Thanks to our guests, Aaron Davison Rippey, Mary Logsdon, Chin Yen, Jeanette Colton, and Allison Walter. Local Talk is broadcast on KHOI at 7 a.m., noon, and 7 p.m. on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. You can also listen to today's Local Talk show and all of our past shows online at our website, khoifm.org. Local Talk was engineered by Cynthia McClure. Our theme song is Backtracking by Al Harris and Tom Richards from their CD, The Ballad of Kate Shelley. We also heard One Woman, Both Sides Now by Joni Mitchell, and Don't Let Me Be Misunderstood by Nina Simone. The snow is melting and things are warming up, so it is a very good time to open up your wallet or your checkbook and become a member of KHOI. You can go to our website, khoifm.org, and look for the donate button. Or you can call 515-292-2878. Or, even better, come by the station and join or make a donation in person. Local Talk is a radio production training workshop, as well as a radio show, which means you can be part of this fantastic team of volunteer producers and reporters. If you would like to join the team, call us at the station or contact us through our website. If you enjoyed the show, tell your friends. Remember, your participation as audience and supporter is what makes KHOI possible and meaningful. Thank you for listening, and see you again on the radio.